I am so delighted to be here with you, like a traveler returning home from a distant place. And I am so grateful for the ways that Trinity St. Paul's remains a blessing in my life through TSP listserv, personal greetings, and through that wonderful ministry led by Bob Severi and Mary Reeve, the canoe trip. Would you join with me in a word of prayer, please? Gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity to be together in community, to worship. Open our hearts and minds to your Holy Spirit as we reflect on words of Scripture and how it may have meaning for us in our lives. Amen. Speaking of canoe trips, I was invited to join with Bob and Mary and Ella Taylor Walsh, Lynn Jondreville, Lynn Brennan, and new friends in a canoe trip this past August in Algonquin Park. Just amazing and peaceful waters and stunning landscapes. And if you've had the experience of being on these canoe trips, either in person or vicariously in stories, you know how quickly community forms. You know, sitting around on logs or rocks around a campfire and baking these banana desserts stuffed with chocolate. All the differences among people, different personalities, ages, cultural backgrounds, just simply fall away. And then common experiences during the trip draw everyone closer still. Perhaps you have heard that on that particular trip, a bear sort of nonchalantly walked in front of the hiking path where we were going, a 4-foot-high bear about 6 meters in front of Ella Taylor Walsh. And I think by the time we had gathered in a restaurant at the end of our trip outside the park, the bear had grown to 6 feet and was only a foot or two from Ella. And so now, some months later, I would not be surprised to hear that Ella was rubbing noses with some gigantic 10-foot bear. But so it is in the cherished stories in a community. Community, relationships among people. The book of Ruth, and we only heard the first 18 verses of the first chapter in our scripture reading this morning, has much to say about community and our place within community. A disarmingly simple story on the surface. In few words, it intertwines many themes, including continuity of family, a national interest in the genealogy of King David. We learn that Ruth, a widowed foreigner from Moab, is great-grandmother to King David. The story of family becomes the story of a nation. God is always breaking down barriers among people and showing special interest in those who face the most barriers, the vulnerable. In this story, widows, strangers, the poor. And here God does this through the loyalty and caring of ordinary people. A barrier-breaking faithfulness that finds its source in the Creator. Breaking down barriers wasn't easy then, and it's not easy now. Called to be partners with God in breaking down barriers, let us see what we can glean from the book of Ruth that may help us. The book is short, just a few pages, and hearing the whole story provides context, so here is a brief synopsis. 10 years before the time of the story, Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, left Bethlehem because of a famine and traveled to Moab, a foreign place. Elimelech died in that place, and their sons married Moabite women. But in time, both the sons also died, so that as we enter the story, there are three widows: Naomi and her two Moabite daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Emotional pleas are exchanged among the women as they are leaving from Moab. Orpah takes her mother-in-law's advice and turns back to be with her own people. Ruth refuses, crying as we heard this morning, "Where you go, I will go. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried." Not even death will separate Ruth from Naomi. Naomi and Ruth return to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest, a time of plenty. And Ruth receives kindness from Boaz, gleaning grain in his fields. She takes home grain for Naomi. And because Boaz acts righteously towards Ruth, the two women find security, food, and a place within the community. After the marriage of Boaz and Ruth, a son is born, the grandfather of King David. The story has moved from emptiness to a return to fullness. Now, this morning's scripture reading is from the early part of the story, the time of emptiness. It is important that we understand the severity of the circumstances of the widows. The storyteller does not even comment on the predicament of being a widow in a patriarchal society without protection, without economic security, for that would have been common knowledge. To make matters worse, Naomi's challenge to her daughters-in-law erupts on the side of the road in the wilderness. They have left Moab, and they are not yet near to Bethlehem. Naomi, in effect, has had a meltdown on the side of some dusty, God-forsaken road. And God-forsaken she feels. As she spits out her bitterness, she cries out, "Turn back, daughters. I have no more sons for you. It has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Naomi's distress bites deeply into her soul. And Naomi is also in a precarious position. She is a widow, and now she is a stranger in a foreign land, doubly at risk. I wonder about the Naomis and Ruths in our world. Who is the stranger? Who is in the midst of a spiritual crisis and feeling abandoned? The barriers, first of all, between people, and secondly, between people and God, as they experience it, have much in common, I believe. Perhaps not identical, but loving God and neighbor are deeply connected. As we heard in the gospel reading this morning, Jesus' great commandment. After all, Naomi's feelings of being harshly treated by God had much to do with her personal circumstances of her human estrangement after the death of her husband and sons. So, who is the stranger today? Or to put it another way, who is estranged or feeling estranged in our world? Where are the barrier places? I would suggest that barrier places are all around us. And whether I like it or not, I am deeply implicated in some of those barriers. Let's consider folks who are living on the margins of our society because of a mental disability of some kind, addiction, poverty, or some other affliction. Maybe it's because I'm in a new environment in Hanover, or maybe it's because I'm a minister working in a church, a place of refuge in people's understanding, that I am so frequently encountering folks who are lost and feeling very estranged. Carl, not his real name, has cerebral palsy and mental challenges. Sitting with him, I listen to his story of losses through his tears, his loss of family, his loss of a beloved pet, and now his current crisis, his loss of a room in a retirement home where he had recently moved. Somehow the system has not worked for Carl. I exchanged emails with a helpful town official, but that is the limit of my involvement. Nor can the town do much, because the authority and the discretion rests with another jurisdiction. Though Carl would like me to do more, I do put up a barrier to that. And I don't know the final conclusion to the story. I do not believe that Carl will end up on the street, but I know that he has had to undergo another loss of a place that he wanted to call home. Carl's behavior is part of the problem, but I do know he deeply appreciates it when someone listens to his story. I do not tell the story of Carl to beat myself up because I am not doing more for Carl, but rather I think the story of Ruth and my present-day story of Carl can help us to think about faithfulness and how God can use us in spite of our human limitations. I believe God invites us to think about barriers and how we can partner with God in our lives to further the kingdom. I suppose we could think of the story of Ruth as the gold standard, or maybe the God standard. The faithfulness of Ruth to Naomi is total, till death do us part. The Hebrew word, chesed, is used to describe a kindness and a loyalty that is richer than our English word for loyalty. It goes beyond. And it is the word that the Hebrew scriptures use to describe God's act of caring and grace towards us. The story of Ruth, functioning on more than one level, calls to mind God's limitless loving kindness towards us and all people. What Ruth actually says to Naomi in this early part of the story we're focusing on today is basically, I am here. I am with you. It is the ministry of presence. In making this commitment, she does not know what the future will hold. She does not know that God will provide for her and Naomi in Bethlehem. At the crucial moment, standing on the road in the in-between, neither in the old life in Moab or the new life in Bethlehem, Ruth is simply saying, you are not alone. I am here with you. What a wonderful gift. Through Ruth and later Boaz, it is as if God is saying, in the words of our new creed, you are not alone. You live in my world. Perhaps we can learn from the way God uses Ruth in the early part of the story. We need to be aware of our human limitations. There are few relationships where God calls us to that gold standard of Ruth, till death do us part. But in prayer and discussion with others, God guides us towards breaking down barriers with that level of just being there that we can handle, the ministry of presence, a visit, phone call, a friendship, a helping hand. I would be surprised if any of us here have not encountered someone in the last week feeling abandoned and harshly treated by God, or feeling like a stranger in a foreign land. In fact, I would be surprised if there were not people's in this congregation feeling that way. And I hope that TSP's lay care provides an opportunity of service for some. And I hope that TSP's vision of a Center for Faith, Justice, and the Arts retains those parts of the vision that called for continuing and strengthening the connection with neighbors live on the street who are in need of services. I am learning that the ministry of presence is an invitation by God to stand on sacred ground. I am learning that the ministry can be one of sharing and mutuality, as it was in the case of Ruth and Naomi. I'm also learning that the ministry of presence, being with, in person or in spirit, is challenging when we are in conflict with the other. I deeply admire the social justice work here at TSP, and I expect that conflict is frequently in the nature of the work. In reflecting on God's barrier-breaking presence in the midst of conflict, a story from the United Church's Hamilton Conference comes to mind. A downtown church was in the midst of a significant new venture to convert the manse into transitional housing for persons recovering from mental health problems. Just one neighbor objected to the project, to the zoning change in the use of the manse, and it resulted in great complications, hearings, lawyers, and the like. Great frustration for the leaders of the church. I recall the minister acknowledging his sudden realization that he had not held this neighbor, the one objecting to the project, in prayer. Not to change the neighbor's mind, but simply in Christ-like concern for this person and her fears. I find I need such reminders to be able to hold in prayer those with whom I am feeling a barrier. A kind of ministry of presence in the midst of conflict or anger, just to be with the other. As in the story of Ruth, midst lives that swing from emptiness to fullness to emptiness, we learn that God is always with us, always breaking down barriers among people and calling us into partnership with God and neighbor, even in the midst of conflict and estrangement. Thanks be to God.